Hello and welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we reveal that Israel Gutierrez is hurting after a flag football expedition that he blamed entirely on field conditions.
I'm not hurting. It's half of my team that's hurting.
Well, you're hurting emotionally.
Like, the only thing I got was this little bruise that's kind of going away right now.
Oh, you just find a way.
Everything else is fine.
Man, that was all right. How do you get
a
shirt?
People keep reaching for my arm.
Where do you find shirts that are adult size with sleeves that are children's size? I need to get on that. I need to get on that move.
Where do you find a shirt that has the static sound just emanating from it?
Yeah, No. It's a compositional notebook. It makes me want to write a letter to somebody.
Or keep like a diary in a third grade.
It was a very nice shirt, though. All jokes aside, I would rock that thing.
I think it's great, and I also do want to rip a page out of it and ask, do you like me, yes or no, and hand it to my crush. Emotionally.
Don't forget the maybe. Yeah. You want to keep options open.
I put maybe. You didn't put maybe on your notes, Pablo?
I did not. Maybe. I feel like I would have had a lot easier life if I put maybe on there.
Yeah, because no is no. Like, you should never check no. It's really just yes or maybe is the proper courtesy in that situation.
Yes or super yes are the two options. Speaking of people saying yes, Alabaster, I'm going to throw you this lob. Where are we going first?
Well done. Kyrie said yes to the Nets. He took the money, and he's back in Brooklyn. And my question to you guys, because this does not seem like the rosiest relationship at this point, how do you expect Kyrie Irving and the Nets relationship to play out from here?
So this does feel like it has a big maybe and a checkbox and a check, admittedly, right? So Kyrie Irving is now an expiring contract. Congratulations to the Brooklyn Nets. And congratulations to Kyrie Irving for saying this, quote, "Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I have made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall." And I don't even know how to say this, guys. Can you help me? How does he want us to pronounce the last term?
A11, right? A11? I don't know.
But it's like, A11 even is how he typed it. It's like, stay me 7-0. Like, A11 even.
Promoting his favorite club, isn't it?
Nice.
Oh, did he sell sponsored? Did he sponsor
Miami right
this
here.
Quote to Shams? Yeah, he sold it. He sold it. SponCon.
I don't quite know where to start.
Quick,
go ahead, Izzy.
What's different about opting into $37 million? Just the first question.
Yeah, nothing. That's why, like, I know sometimes Kyrie will say, like, with the flat earth thing, that he was just like trolling all of us. And when you do stuff like this, I'm tempted to believe that he is trolling us, because like there's no way that he could believe that this makes sense. And if he believes that this makes sense, I'm more concerned than I was before. Like, you're a revolutionary because you accepted it. Who here turns down $37 million checks? That's
Dominique,
not revolutionary.
Dominique, listening to you try to puzzle through this does make me realize that it feels like Kyrie Irving is in the middle of a jump pass. And he was like, oh, I thought there was going to be a sign in trade market. I had the first part pre-scripted. The last part was blank and nobody wanted me. And so I didn't change the first part.
It sounds like the activity of a guy who's represented by his stepmother, somebody who doesn't really have a whole lot of experience in this part of the game. And when that sign up, of course, like Kyrie Irving's being talked about by his peers in such glowing ways. You know, Andre Iguodala saying he's top 20 of all time, everybody talking about point guard this, and he's amazing this.
And so when he's out there in the sign and trade market and nothing's there, he's got to be shocked. He believes in himself so much that he thinks somebody good's definitely going to take a shot at me. And if the Lakers want me, I'll go over there. And it's just like, well, no, the Nets don't want anything in return, so you're stuck here. And now it's just, let me move the goalposts some, when that's all he's been doing this entire time. It's just been in a windstorm. And it's like, you have no idea what he's talking about half the time. And now here he is sort of self-owning.
I guess that is the best explanation for it, is he was overly confident, which I could believe be the case about the market that he was going to create. And that quote was an attempt at him saving face. Like, this is what I'm meant to do all the time.
Yep.
Showed you guys and made you make me
and who believes
take
that?
An option. I know, that's what, like, he's smart. He's not dumb. Like, even though he, like, says some things that are absurd, it's very clear that, like, while the intellectual horsepower he has is not always focused on the right thing, it's clear that there is some horsepower in there. So why doesn't he just, like, point it at, like, a stack of books somewhere that do not use, like, astronomy to explain what's happening in the world? That's all.
No, no. First, okay, wait, so hold on. Alabaster put down this card, and I want to read it because it's notable here, that Brian Windhorst has reported that the Nets found out that Kyrie opted in through his statement. Right. And so as much as it is an admirable thing to wish for books in Kyrie's future, I feel like what is more likely to be in that future is exactly what we just went through, but just like a couple months from now. Like, mm-hmm. it does feel like the Nets, what they have done here is sort of protected themselves to some extent. They're not on the hook for Kyrie and all of the chaos. I think they have basically marked him as a chaotic entity at this point. And what they're going to have to do, though, is go through the thing where he demands a trade at some point this year. That is what all of this feels like it's driving towards.
He is such a gifted basketball player that when he decides to be able, you know, to focus on it, if his body allows him to play an entire season, he can absolutely have the type of season where midway through you're like, let's talk extension again. You know, he's just going to have another prove it to you season or you know, what do they call that? Bet on myself type of season, right? And so why wouldn't you believe he can do that? Just him and KD. Now, I don't believe that this was his plan the entire time and then he was going to stick through his commitment with Kevin Durant and everything else. But, I mean, Kyrie Irving could absolutely average 38-5 for 65 games, be an MVP candidate, and then you'd look like a moron for not re-signing him or extending him. And so it's just the ups and downs of Kyrie, and maybe this is the Nets' plan. Hey, we're going to pressure you into being in a situation where you have to perform for us. And maybe next year, if we can convince a couple other pieces that that's what's going to happen, and we obviously have a maybe better version of Kevin Durant than we had last year, boom, all of a sudden we're talking top three seeds again. And so, yeah, I think Kyrie is in a little bit of a position of power, but that's only because he is so good at this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be valuable, the talent that he has. But I think I'm turning over a new leaf from being annoyed and confused by Kyrie to appreciating him. Because whether he is, like, trolling us in order to get us to talk about this absurdity, either way is giving us something to talk about. So, Kyrie, please, put out some more. Like, it's confusing philosophy, please.
It is kind of remarkable when you do step back and think about what we just did for weeks, right? So it turned out, in the end, that Kyrie Irving is at his rock bottom in terms of trade value. Literally, the Lakers were the only team that were interested, and they were not willing to do the things to make this happen, right? So Kyrie Irving is in the lowest estimation as the league reputation is concerned. And what he did was become the A1 story in sports for a couple weeks. And he did it while doing the thing that was always on the books, that was always the most logical thing, to be honest. And he did it also, I will say, while trying to, I think, fool a lot of media members, among whom we are not included. Alabaster, I feel very proud of how Debatable has talked about this story from the beginning. And I feel like you should be proud because you're right there listening to us get it right. So how do you feel?
That's right. I feel like I work with a couple of geniuses.
Thank you.
Like, bravo to you. I can only find one of the tiny hands, but if I found the other one, I would be vigorously clapping and giving a round of applause.
Thank you.
But I will say it's worth noting, the Lakers did want Kyrie Irving. The Nets just didn't want Russell Westbrook, which is the other side of that coin, which is like, they weren't going to take that $47 million back to help Kyrie Irving, who had sort of created his own melodrama around this franchise.
Level of player do we stop it at where we can't fill in the blank of the Lakers want blank? Because, of course, it's going to start at Kyrie Irving, right? But what level? Wait, we're talking maybe third-tier player where we're like, yeah, we'll trade Russell for that guy. Right? That's probably where they're at.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's just
I think
they're swinging for the fences early on.
It feels like just to get the cap space back. Like, if someone would take on that contract, they would trade for nothing. Like, I think they would like to get out from him. But he's given us some more cell phone car videos. Did you guys see that? Pablo sent that, so I know you saw it. It was magical.
Alabaster sent it. I hearted it with all of my heart because Russell Westbrook singing, you know, "You Won't Break My Soul," while then opting in to $47 million himself is perfect.
I didn't check the benches, but the once you heard you say it out loud, like, that song supposedly made a lot of people want to quit their jobs. So I imagine the mentions are replete with, like, Lakers fans. Like, so does it mean you're going to quit your job? Because please, yes, do that.
Well, and Brad Windhorst is saying that, quote, high-ranking people, end quote, believe Kyrie going to the Lakers is not off the table. And that is, by the way, that is, to me, plausible. And I say that because when Kyrie is on this expiring deal and you have moves that develop during the season, yes, this becomes an easier thing to figure out accounting-wise. I feel like, just to put one quick button on the Nets, though, before we go full-on Lakers chaos, is, and this is where I, again, return to toot our horn, the thing the Nets should have worried about that they no longer have to worry about right now is the Kevin Durant end of things. To me, this entire story from the beginning was about, how does Kevin Durant feel about all of this? Does this make him want to demand a trade? Because that is the only person in this story that the Nets truly cannot afford to lose. And what he said from the beginning was publicly nothing, and then "I'm not getting involved" on his own podcast.
Can I ask a question? It just hit me that Kyrie looking for trade demands or looking for a trade partner produced exactly zero photoshops of Kyrie in other people's jerseys, at least on my timeline. But Kyrie talking about a trade produced like 4 KD potential destinations.
At
like,
least.
He is the key to this. Like, I saw those photoshops on the internet. That is the person that that everyone wants. And I mean, I know down there in Miami, you might be a little disappointed because
there was some Kyrie photoshops for sure. It was Bam, Jimmy, and Kyrie. Yeah,
I got those photoshops blocked on my phone, I guess.
So the Photoshop economy, the meme economy, is a leading economic indicator for an NBA player's stock. Kevin Durant is far and away Google.
Yes.
And Kyrie Irving, true to his statement, is like a bizarre crypto company that is tanking.
Right.
Allie?
So I got a question for you guys. Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Bruce Brown. How good do you think this Nets team is? Yeah, Steve Nash.
I'd probably eliminate Bruce Brown. I think Bruce Brown and Ben Simmons might be a little bit of overlap, but somebody else. They could be. We got to wait till everything plays out because, you know, like, Miami still could pick up somebody. Milwaukee could still do something. Philadelphia probably can't do too much. I think, look, again, if you're telling me that it's a Kyrie Irving that can play in all the games, as many as his body's going to let him, and he is, you know, motivated to perform, not just for his own contract, but for his final year with Kevin Durant, and if it is going to fall apart, at least give me one more run at it with him. And, I wouldn't put it past them. Now, to be the number one seed, I don't know how focused they're going to be throughout the season, but playoffs.
The Heat were the number one seed. Sure, the Nets can be the number one seed. Yeah, like anybody. They're giving that to anybody these days.
That's kind of the point. Okay, I mean, you know, I'm not even going to defend that ridiculous statement. Can I ask you, speaking of ridiculous statements, like, I don't think this is where Beyonce wanted to go with this song. Because first of all, in the song, it's Beyonce basically complaining about a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
And then Russell Westbrook is quoting her as he's pressing send on his opt-in for $47 million. So I don't really know if Russell Westbrook is the audience for this song. That Beyonce was hoping to. But hey, you know, more power to him.
Souls will not be broken. That's good. I was concerned about his soul, the fragility of it. It's good to know that it's being fortified by a whole lot of money and a whole lot of missed shots.
Also, that good light. Also, the good light. He found his light.
Yes.
He found his light. And he flexed. He made sure to do a dance. Russell Westbrook, by the way, side note, is just terrible at dancing, but no one wants to say this because he loves dancing. But he put his bicep up, and I was like, yeah, all right. You know what? Touche, Russ.
Why do I always feel like he should be dancing with, like, a handkerchief that he just keeps picking up and dropping? Because he does all these, like, ridiculous moves, and it's just like, that's what I feel like you should Photoshop in.
Russell Westbrook dances like he's holding an invisible handkerchief is 1,000,000% accurate.
The hanky dancer? I like it. Yes, Alabaster.
Pablo, You have a lot of space behind you. I don't know who you are to be calling anyone a bad dancer.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. You?
It was a wedding move.
That's it. That's
it's
it.
What one you wedding move.
That's
I'm
all
gonna
you got.
Do this for as long as this okay. ISO cam is on.
Please get a spoiler
get
alert.
Tired. I'm not.
I'm tired. Looks, I'm going to get tired.
He looks like the characters from Stranger Things that float up in the air and their bones break, and that's how they die. This is he looks possessed right now.
You do look like you need some help.
You thought I was done, but I'm not.
Please, Alabaster, get us on an office solo.
So wavy.
Make this stop.
I'm please. Guessing the analytics are going to really redeem the strategic decision by our production staff.
Well done. You scared them with the viewers.
Yeah, I know. I reminded them. I reminded them of that we're a fake television show, I suppose. All right. Alabaster, my point has been proven. So what's next?
Very well done. Next is, what should the Suns do with DeAndre Ayton?
Mr. Buttapate, we meet again. If you missed our live shows during the postseason, you missed when Dominique and I and Izzy established that this is a guy who does not... This is a guy who is great at everything but being in the paint. And it feels like the Suns actually are hip to this problem as well, right? DeAndre Ayton, so the financial stuff about this is that the Suns don't believe he's a max player. DeAndre Ayton certainly believes he's a max player. DeAndre Ayton also believes that he might be a four instead of a five, right, and seems to be indicating as such in various channels that
the
he is
Anthony
actually...
Davis move.
Yes, that he wants to be Mr. Butterpaint, like, formally. And so what do you do if you're the Suns? Good luck solving that one, man.
The Suns are interesting because, like, you would think that Chris Paul, with a 23-year-old with this amount of skill, would be able, like, just go ahead and go with that. Like, you can add a couple things to his game, maybe change up a little bit, because his numbers, I believe, were slightly better, I think, last year with Chris Paul off the floor. And so you can mix sort of the post-up stuff that he did before Chris got there with the pick-and-roll stuff and just say, hey, maybe he will continue to grow because, again, 23 years old, but it just doesn't feel like they're compatible. And we've seen this before with Chris Paul teammates. Like, if you get a sign that either the organization or they want out or maybe they're not really, getting along in there, then go ahead, just make the move. Like, I think with Chris Paul, you can sort of, whatever team you build around him, he can make that work. They obviously need a big, but they don't need a big of that much, like, I guess, salary. They could use, maybe, they could get rid of a Jay Crowder. I don't know the salary cap ramifications of this, but if they're looking, you know, for a Miles Bridges and maybe try to do a sign and trade that way. Look, they can get a power forward that's smallish and just be an explosive team and then just get a serviceable center. They can do a lot of things. I'm just, I guess, a little disappointed in the idea that a guy like DeAndre Ayton, in a time where bigs are becoming a little bit more valuable and we're kind of recognizing what they mean, that this is just not the marriage that's working. And it's very, very daring for a team to all of a sudden, hey, he's not a max guy, we're going to move on without really knowing where that's going to go.
It's a team that under this ownership has a history of, like, being frugal, I guess, is the nicest way.
Their ownership should be, like, deposed by now.
Yeah, that's true. About that. Also accused of being very racist, along with being frugal. But the racism may not be
the problem. And don't forget the sexual misconduct, yes. But also, at the moment, not actually the story somehow.
I forgot about that, Robert Sarver. I imagine that the owners are looking to replace him at some point, whether he wants it or not. But we'll get to that later, maybe later on this summer. I got sources too, guys.
Ooh, whoa, whoa.
JK, LOL.
But, Your Honor, JK, LOL.
The point I was thinking is about the max contract. I guess I wonder how general managers and team owners actually feel about the impact of the max contract on contract negotiations in basketball. In other sports where there aren't max contracts, you normally are able to use comps to slot where you're going to pay a player. So, like, DeAndre Ayton, you would not pay him as much as you would pay, say, Kevin Durant. And you could use that to work him way down. But in the way that they have this max contract deal, it's like, are you one of our core guys?
Right. Yeah,
then you deserve a max. And I think it is completely fair for them to say DeAndre Ayton is not a max player if what you think of as a max player is the key piece to a championship team. But it's also fair for DeAndre Ayton to look around the history of the league, a guy who is this important to his team, is a max player. So, like, I don't know whose side to actually be on. I think that they're probably right.
Well,
that you can find for what you're going to lose for DeAndre Ayton, because you're not going to find someone as good as him, but you can find someone who can do similar things for much less money.
Clint Capella, somebody.
That value, like that value that you can use to fill up the rest of your roster is more valuable, because I think DeAndre Ayton is amongst the best bigs in the league, but I think that you could, you'd be fine with lesser DeAndre Ayton as long as you could fill in with some serviceable wings.
Alabaster's begging too hard, I know, so I'm going to step
begging
in.
Begging so and thirsty.
Well, there's an important distinction here, is that it's not – he's in the lowest bracket of max contracts available. One, it's coming off his rookie deal. Two, he has received no accolades. So, like, his $130 million max is much smaller than what someone like Kevin Durant or a more accomplished player would get.
So no, what would be the max? Because Kevin Durant is his service time is not the word they use, but that is part of the reason why his max is so high. I guess maybe while Pablo is talking, you could look up what would be his max if he had reached one of those accolades, as you call it.
Right.
And that's where I think for DeAndre Ayton, it becomes like, or for the Suns even, like, are they that much worse with JaVale McGee on the floor? And what are the salary differences? Like, he is essentially a very, very, very good role player on this team, because the way they're made up, with Chris Paul leading the way and Devin Booker being your actual option A. So he's looking at it like, hey, let me go somewhere else. So I've got younger, less developed players in their, you know, in their careers, and we can build together with Cade Cunningham, perhaps in Detroit. And, you know, Portland is another possibility, even though Dame Lillard kind of takes that as well.
So two notes, Alabaster, that I want to throw in your direction, because I know you're going to come in with the max contract stuff. One note is the answer to this is that the Suns should be less cheap, right? Like the Warriors, Mr. Lightyear is out there spending $450 million on his team. Like reason they don't want to pay him is because they don't want to spend the money. The second thing, though, to Dominique's point before, is like what they still are asking in the max contract sort of format as negotiated by the CBA is give me as much as you're allowed to pay me.
Right.
That's the question. Like, who gets that treatment, Alabaster?
Right, right. And so the difference is it is $76 million in a year. So it's Luka Doncic and Trae Young, same draft class, just signed for 5 years, $207 million, which is, you know, a higher percentage of your cap.
Yep. Can I bring in the other part of the story, though, which we haven't mentioned yet, but we all remember from the time we did this live show? The Suns didn't play him in the second half.
Right.
And after the game, their coach, Monty Williams, was very stern dad, being like, we're not going to talk about why we didn't play him, but he knows what he did, basically.
Yeah, the animosity that seems to exist between them, except that all started with them not paying him last offseason, right? Like, that's what we believe that the tension in the organization
is. That's where allegedly it started.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's why it goes back to me is like the max contract, that money you're talking about is significant, but I don't think it's significant enough for them to justify. I think the title of max contract as a player, like that, those titles mean a lot. The guy who's gotten no accolades would love to be able to say, but I got a max deal. And I think that it makes it more difficult. So there's pros and cons to every little tweak that you make to the CBA. And one of the pros is you never have to pay a player like LeBron James as much as he's actually worth. But the con is you're going to have to pay some players like DeAndre Ayton more than their value is on.
Well, if you look at the dynamic of their three top guys, they're all in different stages of their career. Chris Paul's toward the end, like trying to ring chase, and he knows the guy that's in his prime, Devin Booker, who's already gone through this little, you know, initial contract stuff and is making his money. He's my top guy. DeAndre Ayton is trying to get his bag. They didn't give it to him right away, and now he's like, well, I need to finish that part of my career. And yes, I did get to the finals. I did love the team thing, but now I got to worry about me as well. So I wouldn't be shocked if that was just that tension throughout the year of, wow, I didn't get my extension. I've got to make my money. I'm not getting that opportunity. So how are you guys helping me? Like, how is this helpful for all of us? And then he got ousted in the second round. Nobody wins in that situation.
I just want to remark upon the fact that he doesn't have any accolades is such a harsh description.
Yeah. I mean, it was very mean by Alabaster.
You got no jams, DeAndre Ayton. You got no jams. That's what everyone is saying.
I mean, the draft that he was in, you're comparing him to Trae Young, who I think is, I mean, with the exception of the one fluky run that they made that we could blame on a lot of other things other than them, like, Trae Young is a guy who I think is going to get a max deal, but I don't know if he can be the best player or no, not I don't know. I don't believe he can be the best player on a championship team. Luka, not that dude. Luca is the guy, is a Max Steel guy.
Oh, Al, did you hear Al Max Steel yelp? You interpreted that to say that Dominique was saying that he's not that guy.
That's what I thought initially.
I mean, he's not that guy. He's not that Trae Young. Luca is him, as the kids say nowadays.
Luca has so many accolades.
Oh, yeah, he is accoladed up. He got.
By the way, have you seen Luca?
Did he lose some pounds?
He looks a little Izzy-esque.
You know, he might be accidentally showing a bruise on his bicep soon, is what I'm saying.
Let me holler at his Photoshop, man.
Oh, he looks good. Yeah, he's like in Europe playing. His haircut looks like he's playing himself into shape.
Getting younger by the day.
Yeah.
He looks like he put one of those jawline filters on from Instagram. He looks great. But I want to play a quick game with you guys.
You can pay a fan, yeah.
I want to play a quick game with you guys on Aiden. I have a list of bigs, and I want you to tell me to stop when you think Aiden's better than that person.
Okay.
Hold on, time out. Before you go, I would like to give them something else to think about that they can then comment on once we're done with this list of bigs. Last night, my 11-year-old daughter made a presentation for why I should let her download TikTok. All right, Alabaster, go.
Okay. First one, Giannis. Second one, Nikola Jokic. Third one,
we can count.
Joel Embiid. Four, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Why are you counting?
Rudy Gobert.
There we go.
Sabonis. Jerry Jackson.
I stopped you at Gobert, but then there was the delay. So
wait,
Gobert's my stop.
Give me the name after Jaren Jackson, just out of curiosity's sake.
Bam Adebayo.
you put Jackson above Adebayo. You're just trying to upset.
You put Bam below Gobert. I know he's got some awards. I know he's got some accolades.
I think DeAndre Ayton is right there on the Bam Adebayo line.
I mean, I'm with Izzy. If you were talking about a player I'd rather have in the playoffs, you give me like the deficiencies that I lose, the slight deficiency in rim protection because no one's better than Rudy there. Like I more than make up for with his ability to stay on the floor offensively.
Yes.
I'm still
going to give him slight improvements for the next couple of years because he's so young, especially if he like takes on a different role and can, you know, show off some of his bag, which he doesn't really get the chance to often in Phoenix.
You think the fact that he looks really old impacts the way that people view his ability to get better?
No doubt.
So I put him actually, and this is interesting because I think I'm pretty far off what you guys think. I put him at 13th of best big in the NBA, and I put him one spot below Jarrett Allen and one spot above Clint Capella, and just below that was Al Horford. So like I just don't know what his value is.
Yeah, I think the value is different than where he ranks. I would rank him higher, but I think that the value of a big and a perimeter oriented game like wings is where it was like the difference in championship teams is how good your wings are. You need to have a serviceable center. So I think he's a lot better than serviceable, but the value that you can extract from that player is not nearly as much you can extract from like a elite level wing. So like having Clint Capella replace DeAndre Ayton is a smaller drop than having just about anybody try to replace someone like Jason Tatum. And considering how much they have the ball in their hands, how important their defense is on the opposing wings, like that's just a problem. It's like a running back in football. Like,
this is my
his offense is underrated, Charlie.
Your position's not as valuable as it once was.
I think Aiden's offense is just underrated. I a lot like Bam, where people are like, oh, you've got to give him a chance and he's got to show it off. The offense doesn't run through him. It's not like you can just post him up. Same thing with DeAndre Ayton. Like, he'll get his chances here and there, but not all the time. But every once in a while, he shows you something that says, hey, if he got that opportunity more often, he can be that guy. So maybe it is just a fit thing.
But I guess I would argue that it's not underrated. That's the reason why it's more low. It's rated lower. It's because
you haven't seen it as much.
No. Because you cannot run the offense through a guy like that. Like, you can't. Unless it's Giannis, like, you can't. You can go ahead. We saw what happened when they tried to run offense through Bam in the playoffs. And we haven't seen them try to run offense through Ayton, but I've never seen him handle the ball like they can run offense through him. So like,
I believe he's big enough. He gets his shot way like easier off of a big man other than easier than Bam. I mean, we've just had different opinions, but yeah. I think it's probably because we haven't seen him be the usage guy. Like, the last couple of years has been way lower than the 24%, you know, before Chris Paul got there. So what would we have been if we would have gone from 24 to 26 to 28? Yeah. We don't know.
No, but this brings us back to the butter paint thing. Right? Yeah. Like, what does he actually see himself as positionally? What do the Suns want him to do? What does he want to do? Because job description and job capability are two very different things.
Right.
But- and in this game, like, you're probably better off being a versatile four. Just tell everybody you're a versatile four than being a five, because it's somewhat limited, unless you're a five that, you know, like Nikola Jokic is just completely unique.
But you have to be a truly versatile four. Like, he is not going to be Giannis. So I guess my point or my thought is, either you look at the way the league is now and you accept that that guy is not going to be the guy you can build around, or you're going to shift the paradigm to a new paradigm you're going to play entirely differently. Because if you look around at the best teams in the NBA, they are not guys that their offense is built around going through their center or going through their four unless you have Giannis. So, like, unless he's Jokic, which he ain't, then you have to, like, conform to building offense around the wings, and you can't pay a guy like that max money.
No, what he is he is, you know how like they give a student driver like a, or no, sorry, they have the student driver get the wheel and they have the real driving instructor have the side wheel. Yeah. Chris Paul always has the real wheel, right? Like, come on, his point guard's Chris Paul. They're not running anything to DeAndre Ayton ever. Like, that's how that car is going to get driven.
Oh, well.
Man, it's hard to argue. Yeah. Like, a big guy trying to get away from Chris Paul. It won't be the first time that's happened.
I hate arguing against guys getting their money. Just pay them. Stop being cheap. Pay them. Go into the luxury tax. Do what you got to do. If you can't afford it, sell your team. Somebody will scoop it up.
Mm. Ooh, he's only going to get $110 million and not $131. What a bummer.
You will not break his soul. You will not break his soul.
I got sympathy. That's a lot of millions. A million is a million. Damn, what you said. You can count it up with all that judgment you want. Anyway, you guys were talking about filters. That's what reminded me last night.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so.
Right.
And
so was you like, make your children do presentations when they ask you a large, you know, important question?
No. I don't make them do presentations. She knew that a straight up ask was going to get a straight up no. So she decided to put some effort in to try to make me feel bad. It was a really good presentation. She tried to argue that it would expose her to different parts of culture and make her more well-rounded and allow her to make connections with her friends to talk about things. Like, this is a great article. So now I sent her like a 400-page research paper on how it's unhealthy for children from 11 to 13, or particularly girls 11 to 13 who spend a lot of time on social media, and was like, sorry, but facts
denied.
Yeah, it'd be like, I've heard it promised that the internet's gonna connect us and like make great liberal democracy revolution happen, and nope, not so much.
Just shined a light on everything.
Tangent when you need them?
You guys ready to talk about some John Wall?
Sure.
He has not played a lot of basketball lately, but he appears to be healthy, and we know that he can
be. The understatement of the show.
Well, he can be a useful player. And now he's on the Clippers, who are coming back from purgatory with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and their cast of characters, and now John Wall. And my question, what are the chances John Wall is going to be valuable for the Clippers?
I mean, well, you say he can be a useful player. Prove it. Because the last time he played of any significance, it was like, for Houston, and it was a couple years ago, and it was very, very poor numbers.
I will say this, Alabaster, correct me where I am wrong here, but John Wall shockingly played 2 years ago. He played that season in Houston in like, was it 2021 or 1920? He played like a bunch of games when they won like 17 of them. Yep. They were terrible, but yes, he averaged 21-7 two seasons ago. Which to me,
Look at those efficiency numbers.
Oh, no.
I mean, they were awful.
So let's get to the value proposition here, right? Because he's replacing basically Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson is John Wall-esque, if this version in this card is the John Wall that we're talking about. Reggie Jackson doesn't shoot threes well, is not efficient from the floor, is, I mean, John Wall's actually a better passer than him too. I have no idea physically, bottom line, what John Wall is at this point, but it's definitely a worthwhile gamble at a reduced price, given that you're not paying him the money that everybody laughs at him for making.
Yeah, he's resting.
That's the only thing that's keeping me from saying anything, because if you're going to tell me it's 2017 John Wall, cool, going to be dope. Or even if it's just a little bit worse than that. But right now I have no idea what version you're going to get, especially for the course of an entire season. It's hard to, you know, put much stock into it.
I'll go 25%, but I think the price is the thing that matters. They've already won. So, like, if he gives them anything, it's a success, because they're not going to be responsible for – what is he – is he a guy making 47 too, I think, right?
He was in the 40s, yeah.
47 million, well, something like that.
Bought him out at 40-something, yep.
Yeah, so
I like how we're just rounding up or down randomly on $10 million. Yeah, 41 million is the buyout, in fact.
Kind of makes gas seem not that expensive when we're talking about these giant numbers.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a good move for the Clippers. I don't think my expectations are high for the value of John Wall, because he's at least his style of play when he was here in D.C. He's a guy like an offense built around type of guy. And so maybe he's helpful to run a second unit or something like that, where the offense can be built around him. But and maybe he's not a good enough shooter for me to think that he'd be a great asset to have on the floor. He's not a great good enough defender for me to think that he's a great asset to have on the floor when they're like closing games, but like to like eat up innings. I think John Wall might be nice for given how old
Peak John Wall was underrated. Peak John Wall was underrated. Like, he made Otto Porter a max guy. He made Marcin Gortat some money. Like,
he was the guy
over Bradley Beal on that team. Yeah. And so if he can, like, if he's just been, you know, saving his legs and working out, which of course John Wall has that history of doing, then I think he'll be great over there. And I think it's a nice fit with the wings, obviously, that they have. But
John,
you know,
Wall,
it's sort of a wait
John
and see
Wall,
situation for me.
John Wall is so old now that we can remember when doing the Dougie turned Colin Coward into like the sheriff from Footloose. It was just like, how dare he? And now we have, I mean, it's just like, it's so quaint in retrospect that any of that. Anyway, I give this Kawhi Leonard percent.
That was such a bad moment in sports television history.
Just really go was, back gosh. And watch what John Wall did to really radicalize all of these people. And it's speaking of TikTok, it's like a D-minus level, like, oh, risque move as a TikTok did.
Oh, man. Jeez. Such a doggy whistle. What's up, Alabaster?
One thing I want to add about this and why I think it's an interesting fit is we just saw a team go to the finals without a steady ball handler in the Celtics, and that actually held them back because they didn't have a single great passer or dribbler on that team. And well, I think that John Wall is likely to be Reggie Jackson's backup because Reggie Jackson's a better creator and isolation scorer at this point. The Clippers didn't have anyone who was like a creative passer of the basketball. And to your point, John Wall made a lot of money for Rasul Butler, Martell Webster, Otto Porter, Trevor Ariza. And that is good for the Robert Covingtons and the Norman Powells and the Marcus Morris seniors who are all on this Clippers roster and need to have shots created for them when Kawhi and Paul George aren't isolating.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rasul Butler. I don't know why I had to bring that in, but...
I refuse to fall into this trap. Next topic.
Good job. Well played, Pablo.
I was like, there's nothing I can say here. Next topic.
Nothing.
Okay, next
Absolutely nothing. I can't believe he got paid. I forgot all about that.
We have a video for you to watch after this question, and that is, what are the chances you're already tired of Russell Wilson as a Bronco? Let's take a look.
You know what? Let me come by AS Monaco and check the soccer team out, the football team. But I want to show them a football that I know, and it's the first pass, football pass ever here at AS Monaco practice facility. Come with me. Come check it out.
Launch wow, it. Look
Let's
at
go.
That.
I hate this.
It's so.
You sure?
Even the Let's
sure,
Go.
Russ?
It's my least favorite Let's Go in the history of Let's Go.
Can we fact check?
Like, it's a Let's Go in my nightmares. It just doesn't seem genuine. Like, how can a Let's Go seem disingenuous?
I Dominique, I just reject the notion that no one has ever thrown a football on that field before. Prove it to me. Why do you have to throw that in there? What a weird superlative to assign yourself.
The last time the Broncos.
Is this gonna be an NFT?
The last time the Broncos had like a square shaped quarterback who was very religious and saccharine, they made
touchdown,
it.
Jesus.
They had a surprising overtime victory in the playoffs against the Steelers. So I am 0% tired of Russell Wilson. He is a unique character, and we need unique characters. He's, I mean, in the Let's home go. Of the Stanley Cup champions, he's not an original character, but he's a unique character because he feels like a throwback character. Like, he would have been, well, he doesn't look like a throwback quarterback, but he, like, talks and behaves like back in the day when we only saw, like, our quarterbacks for, like, 30 seconds a week. Now we see them for hours a week. And he's doing the same 30-second bit of, like, super wholesome, like, team guy. And it just – it's getting
This is why
old.
I'm quietly thankful for the Dan Marinos of the world, whoever – I don't even know who else has done this in the past. But for the ones who just give terribly fake, boring quotes because they don't want to be in the limelight, like, I want those quarterbacks. I mean, a Matt Ryan. Like, a Matt Ryan doesn't seem like he wants to be in front of a camera. I want that quarterback because if the option is to be this cringeworthy, I don't want it.
Why?
I don't want it.
Why? I think Izzy has some residual cow herd left on him from the Dougie segment to now, like, I want my quarterbacks like Matt Ryan. I need a good old Dan Marino.
It feels like Izzy's flag
do
football
team. You have some counter
team.
On me. Sorry, dude.
It feels like Izzy's flag football team lost to a, like, hyper-religious former baseball player this past week.
Well, they were from Boston.
Perfect.
So I'm also going 0% because while I hate this for me, I love this for, like, everybody else who has to sit through it as, like, a Seahawks fan. I think it's very funny that Russell Wilson has never loved his life more than he's loving it right now.
Pablo, can you give us a Russell Wilson less ride? Because that's his new thing, right?
He's
like, welcome to Broncos country. Less ride.
Oh, instead of go Hawks, he's now going let's ride.
You didn't know that? You didn't know that he goes, oh, you missed the let's ride? That's the biggest thing.
Hashtag let's ride.
All he does
99.9%.
Oh, that's great.
Because it says you're. What are the chances you're already tired of Russ? I always give somebody a chance to surprise me. But
I'm not tired of it. Keep it coming,
Russ.
Oh,
did you see that? He almost forgot that he was doing his new nines. He had to, like, really pause on that. And his last nine looks like a four. You need to keep practicing, Charlie.
I first think nine so looks like hard a Q. To do it that way.
First nine looks like a Q, kind of. Yeah. Q9.4.
To watch.
Yeah, it hurt me, too. All right, I got one more topic for you
Hold
guys.
Hold on. Did we not accomplish the John Wall or the Russell Wilson?
Give
on,
us our accolades.
No. There was just I tried to move quickly off of – anyway.
Okay, I remember. Good job.
If Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell box against each other next month, then blank.
Guys, running backs aren't doing great these days. Herschel Walker is, like, going to be a senator. Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell are going to beat the shit out of each other next month for reasons that I don't understand. It's bad right now, man.
So is being a senator a bad thing? Like, running backs aren't doing well right now. Herschel Walker's going to be a senator. I think if that running back becomes a senator,
that sounds amazing.
Maybe we aren't doing well, but he's doing just fine.
Well, I dispute the fact that anybody here is doing fine, but continue.
That's fair. The Le'Veon, I mean, I don't like these. And particularly when it's running backs, it's really sad considering, like, how their careers, but both of these guys had long careers, made a lot of money, and this is not, like, or at least it shouldn't be a play for bucks, but these, like, celebrity boxing things just always kind of make me feel a little bit gross. Like, even when old boxers go back for to get a bag, I feel a little bit gross. So, like, I don't love this, honestly. It makes me a little
this
bit
This is
sad.
Part of a bigger card, right? Is this part of the Jake Paul?
I would guess so, yeah.
That sounds right. honestly.
Man, there's some place I'm going to go with this, but I can't because it's just going to bring the mood down. But I'm intrigued by
More than the
Bell
last
here.
Time like, you brought the mood down?
You're right. This one just has to do with child abuse.
Oh, no.
Let's go.
Sure.
Mood down. You already said it. Let's get up in there.
Honestly, it's unclear which one you're referring to of the names we've mentioned so far in this segment alone, but please continue.
I would just say I believe Adrian Peterson is better suited to be a fighter in that respect.
There we go.
So here's the thing, Izzy, right? Like,
see, I told you I didn't want to go there.
Here's the thing. I regret that we went there. Full disclosure. A. B. The idea that we're going to watch these two do. I mean, Dominique, what this really does, and just like to put a button on the just sadness of all of this, it really does make clear, like, what it, the difference between football and boxing is a thin membrane when it gets to this point, right? When you're an old running back and a guy who doesn't want to quit, you're a boxer. That is what you are, man. And we know how that's.
Has Marshawn Lynch done this? Because he told us it's all about, you know, guys don't want to get hit over and over and over again. He seems to want to do the hitting over and over and over again. I'd like to see him in a boxing ring. Insane. But these guys just don't really excite me. Like Le'Veon Bell, like he's shifty or whatever, but does he have any power? Like, I have no idea. It just doesn't really entice me to watch these guys. They're not big enough or interesting names to have me pay for anything to watch them fight.
Yes, that thin membrane that you're talking about, Pablo, has been destroyed by repeated hits to the head, and I'm not looking for those membranes to be battered anymore. It's a sad, sad state of affairs. But I mean, hopefully they take care of each other. They just mess around, get some bags, and go home. It's just like the whole idea of fighting for money. Like, I understand some people do it, but if you are not a professional fighter for money, it feels real gross when I see you fighting for money. Right?
You ever been knocked out? Yeah. I know people that want to be knocked out. I've never been knocked out.
So is that a no on TikTok, by the way? That was a no? That was a no.
Hard no.